But today what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit's work in the life of Christ and how they work together as a team to accomplish what God wanted them to do, wanted to do through them. And so this is an exciting time. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35 says this. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we pray that as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ, that we will understand the unity that's found in you and the unity in our mission here that you have called us to. And so we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, I pray and ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we're going to take a look at the study of the life of Christ and the study of the Holy Spirit and his interaction with it, we have to begin at the conception. And so we see the appearance of the Holy Spirit here at the conception with Mary. Now, it was an important thing that Jesus was virgin born. The reason being is the passing of the seed of sin comes through the man. We read that in Romans 5, chapter 12, or chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned." So now, did Eve eat of the fruit first? It's not a trick question. The answer is yes. But sin entered the world through him when he ate. And through the seed of the man, the sin nature, the sin is passed. And so we have here Mary, who is impregnated by the Holy Spirit to give Jesus a sinless, perfect body. What a beautiful picture of the preservation of the sacrifice for us and the moving of the Spirit in this moment. And so that was the only way for it. It was a miracle that this took place. Even Mary knew that. How can this be with me being a virgin? I can't be pregnant. And she was told by the angel who had appeared to her. See, the Holy Spirit's involvement in Jesus' conception was required for him to fulfill the work he came to do. And the same is true for our ministry. So often we think and we go through life thinking that we can do something for God, or we're taught in church, you know, you need to go do this for God. And we need to try harder. And we rededicate our lives to Christ so that we can try harder. And then we fail, and then January 1 comes along and we try harder. You ever been through that cycle? I can't be the only one. Right? If something is true, it has to be true every time. It will work every time. Gravity works every time. Every time I trip, I fall. Unless there's somebody there to catch me. Every time. And so trying harder is not the answer. Understanding the work of the Spirit and resting in the Spirit in those moments is the answer. Well, what does that look like? What does that look like in a life lived? You know, because it's easy for us in America to get a list and to work our list and to do it and to make it happen. And we think that success is achieved by that. And usually success is measured by money or attendance or these things that the world tells us are important. Well, I want you to know success is found when you discover what God has for you and you say yes and you obey that and listen to the Spirit of God in that moment. Has He ever spoken to you or you felt like God wanted you to do something that you're like, man, I can't do that? Or that's hard. I don't want to do that. A lot of times that goes with forgiveness or with other things that are uncomfortable for us. And we say, no, I'm going to obey you anyway. And we say yes to the Spirit of God. We know those moments. The problem is we don't always like them. We don't always like them. And then there's moments that God speaks to us and He says, this is it. And they're super fun. Because you see the hand of God in it, and you know that He gets all the credit. And so we have to begin to say yes, and to follow after Him, or to speak up at work when somebody says something, and you've ever had that thought where you should share Christ, or you should share another thought, and then you back down. Or you go, well, I don't want to alienate, or I'm at work, even though the Spirit of God is leading you to it. We have to be very careful. See, because from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was involved in the life of Christ from His conception to make sure that He was the perfect sacrifice. He was equipped from long ago, from the very beginning of His earthly life, if you will, because Jesus is God and He has no beginning or end. But the body of Jesus had a beginning here on earth from the conception, the moment that Mary had conceived Him of the Holy Spirit. And so it's an interesting thing that we think that we can do all these things for God, or that we don't really realize that God's prepped and prepared us and equipped us the way He's equipped us to go on to what He's called us to. We have a lot of a self-loathing that goes on in America today. We have things about ourselves that we dislike or even hate. And the enemy will tag in with that and say, how could God use somebody like that? How many of you recognize that you have weaknesses? Look around. You're not alone. That's why we're here. Because wherever you're weak, somebody else here is strong. And we make up the difference for each other. You know, if somebody's good with numbers, I'm going to call them. Or if somebody else is good at talking, I'm going to call them. But sometimes, our area of weakness is where God actually calls us. We saw that with Moses. When God said, go talk to Pharaoh, he's like, I can't talk to Pharaoh, son. Aaron, he's a good talker. Isn't that funny? We look at people's skills and think that that's the answer instead of looking at God and saying God is the answer. We have to be very careful that we don't do that. We have to be very careful that we listen and receive what God has for us and not move away. And realize this, from long ago, from your very birth, God has been shaping you to be used as an instrument in His plan. You may be weird, but you may be the only one that fit in that slot. Anybody here weird other than me? I'm the only one. Okay, thank you. We're all weird. You're weird. Aren't you glad you came to church today? We're all strange. That's all part of it, though. That's the beauty. That's the joy of getting to know other people and to be there and lock arms together. You know, it's an amazing thing. Where the Bible says where one can do 1,000, two can do 2,000. Is that what it says? The Bible says where one can do 1,000, two can do 10,000. So how? Wouldn't it be 2,000? Wouldn't that be the number? But that, there's a multiplying factor that happens when we're together. And I believe it goes on to say that a cord of three strands is hardly broken. And so we're in this together. And God's knit us perfectly to fit together. The beauty of different materials coming together is it makes it stronger, not weaker. And so embrace the differences and enjoy that. God worked from the beginning. The Holy Spirit worked in the life of Christ to make sure that He could be the perfect sacrifice for us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And so we see the Holy Spirit's work at the conception. We see the Holy Spirit's work in Jesus' ministry. In the work that Jesus did with us before His crucifixion was done in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we think of the work of Christ as simply the cross. He went to the cross for me. We don't ever think of all the other work that He did for us that led up to the cross. The examples, the teaching, the example of love that He showed to the disciples, even when they betrayed Him, and we know that surrounded the cross. But that wasn't the work of it. Yet forgiveness was. And restoration is. And so in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while He was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in bodily form like a dove. And the voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased.'" And so we see the Holy Spirit there at the moment of His baptism and His anointing unto ministry. This has began His 3-year public ministry. And the people there saw the Spirit of God descend upon Him. What an awesome moment that marked the beginning of His ministry. And so we really, and let's not miss this opportunity, we actually see the Trinity here. Because you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit descend, you have the Father in heaven say, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And so we have a picture of the Trinity, or a revelation of the Trinity. And so what a beautiful moment that took place. And so the Holy Spirit was there in His conception. He's there at the moment that He's anointed. And then we see His activity in the ministry of Jesus Christ in Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. "And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as was His custom, He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. The book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. And He opened the book and found the place where it was written." Now, this is before chapter and verse. Jesus found the place in the book. And He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so we see that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him to preach the gospel. You know, when you're in moments and we go, "Oh, that's nice for Christ. That's wonderful for Him." But when people talk to us about sharing our faith or how we should engage others into a conversation about Jesus, one of the first things we say is, "I wouldn't know what to say." Or, "How do you even begin that conversation? Where does that start? How do I open that door?" And the truth is, you don't open the door. The Holy Spirit opens the door. The truth is, you don't have to come up with something to say. He'll give you what to say if you're willing to enter that conversation. And that's the key, is our willingness. So when we speak to others as we're led, no, the Holy Spirit's involved. I've said this before many times. There was one time I was witnessing to somebody. I was so nervous. I did the Romans Road backwards. Y'all familiar with the Romans Road? Anybody ever heard that term before? Mm-hmm. Y'all never heard that? I'm going to give you the Romans Road. Here's a way to share Christ. It's easy. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you and me, brother, sister, friend. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. As you walk down the road, you see how it goes? We're sinners. There's a penalty. Romans 5:8. Anybody remember that one? Romans 5:8. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we have the penalty of death, and we have the sacrifice for that. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you will be saved. It's pretty simple, right? I actually went backwards through that when I was telling somebody. But the interesting thing is they were lacking hope. And I didn't know that. But the Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit worked on that. And so it started with the hope. And then I went back to the need. And that night they prayed to receive Christ. There's times I've shared that and they didn't receive Christ. Because I was sowing a seed or watering a seed that had been planted. And that's how it works. That's the beauty of how it works. Is the Holy Spirit is in charge of the conversation. We cannot rely on ourselves to do what God's called us to do. It doesn't work that way. That's why trying harder doesn't help. That's why improving your behavior doesn't make you a better Christian. The truth is, you want to know what God's Word says? God's Word says that He's already given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. And we pray and we ask Him for things that pertain to that, don't we? Do we not believe that's true? So then how do we bring that alive in us? It's by the moving of the Spirit. Because the truth is, it's already alive in you. How many of your sins were forgiven the moment you put your faith in Christ? All of them. But we're still worried about tweaking your sin as a church. Your sin's been taken care of by Jesus on the cross. My goal is to help you live in reliance to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak with you so that in each moment of every day that He wants to work in and through you, you can experience the hand of God. And we will all say, I have nothing to do with that. That was all God, obviously. That's when we've begun to do what God's called us to do. And that's the beauty of understanding ministry. One thing we're reminded of here is that unless the Holy Spirit is moving in the other person, nothing we do will have spiritual result unless it's simply an issue of obedience for us. Sometimes we're being just obedient to do something. But I've almost never seen it where God wasn't also working in somebody else. See, we see God and His working in our lives kind of as the whole thing, right? Well, I'm always seeing what He's doing in me. I can't see what's going on in their life. And then sometimes we have a sense that God might be working, but not all the time. But we have to leave that between them and God. Because we only feel like we're successful when we see results, right? Measurable and all these, you know, all these Six Sigma. How many familiar with that? Yeah. I'm going to get in trouble. All my Six Sigma people are going to talk to me after. You know what? The Holy Spirit exceeds Six Sigma, I promise you. He can do things in people's... He can take a heart of stone and make it turn into flesh. He can reach and change and talk in the thoughts, heart, and mind of somebody that you didn't think was reachable. He can do it. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. It's hard to do that when it's been a while. I prayed for somebody for 4 years and I saw nothing. I even asked God, do I need to keep praying? He said, yeah, keep praying. I'm like, that's not the answer I wanted, God. You ever told God that? I kept praying, and when that person came and prayed to receive Christ, it was the sweetest moment. But that wasn't my deal. My deal is the obedience of what He asked me to do. We so often want to do God's work but try to control the results. Like get our hands on God's things, and it doesn't work like that. And so we see His ministry, the ministry of Jesus Christ was in the Spirit. He said right here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so He speaks in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. If that was important when Jesus spoke the word, don't you think it's important when we do as well? The answer to that is yes. Very important. And so pay attention to where the Holy Spirit's working and join Him. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to what's happening in the lives of people around you or in your own life. I so often wonder if my schedule is so busy, the Holy Spirit can even get on my list. We all don't want to admit that out loud, but somebody's got to. Well, I've got to be here by 3:15. It's already 3:12. You ever been in that situation? And then invariably, somebody will come up and start talking to you. It might be somebody you know or somebody you don't know. And in the back of your mind, you're going, really? Now? Don't raise your hands. And you're just kind of standing there and you're wanting to engage just enough so you can get out and still make the next appointment. Just stating the facts. The only reason I know is because I've done it. And then I've had at times the Holy Spirit grab a hold of my heart and say, this is where you need to be right now. And you know what? I just throw my list away and I let the Holy Spirit do it. I wish I could say I've always done that. I haven't. But I'm trying to do better at that and be on His. You know, when we first started New Life and we were knocking all kinds of doors and we were talking to people. We had little bandit signs everywhere. We did an event down for Falcon Point. I want to say Falcon Crest. That's a TV show. Falcon Point. And I would go to the grocery store and I would come back like 3 hours later with like 5 items. And Terry, when I'd walk in, she asked me how visitation went. Because you used to run into everybody that you met in the community. It was really funny. And you just never know. You just never know where those opportunities are going to present themselves. And so be open. Your list is not as important as what the Holy Spirit's doing with you in the moment. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. I will die, I promise you, I will die with a to-do list. Undone. It'll be large. So just accept the fact that you're never going to finish it. But I do want to finish the course that the Holy Spirit, that God has set out before me. That I do want to finish. And so we see the Holy Spirit in His conception. We see the Holy Spirit in His ministry. But we see the Holy Spirit in His death and resurrection. You know, this was the most crucial moment in human history. And we see how the Holy Spirit was working in conjunction with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:14 says this: how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Isn't that interesting that he brings works into that? And he's talking about his sacrifice on the cross. Dead works are contrasted here with the work Christ did on the cross in offering himself. He did it through the Spirit. I don't want to participate in dead works. I want to participate in the moving of the Spirit and what's going on with what God is doing in that moment. And so the sacrifice, the actual sacrifice of Christ was made through the Spirit of God. Anybody ever heard a sermon on that before? That's interesting, right? That's a new aspect of the cross. And what Jesus did when he actually died on the cross. You know, the truth is, there were some arguments a while back, and there's probably still going around today, they don't hold any water, of the fact that Jesus didn't really die on the cross, that he passed out. Have you ever heard that before? That's why 3 days later he was feeling better and he got up and he pushed the stone away. I mean, can you imagine if that was true and the guards are there? Hey, is anybody out there? Hey, wait a minute. That might have freaked me out too. That would have been a reason I would have run from them. So that's how they explain it. There's all kinds of things. Even they were worried that somebody was going to steal Jesus' body and claim that he resurrected. The problem is that he appeared to a bunch of people after the resurrection. Alive. So you can't claim that they stole his dead body. But he offered himself up through the Holy Spirit. That was part of the participation of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ at the cross. But we also see in Romans 8:11 that the Holy Spirit participated in the raising Jesus up from the cross, from the dead. Verse 11. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So in the same way, in the same power that the Holy Spirit gave life to Jesus' body to raise him up from the dead, he gives us life today. Because see, there's no life apart from Christ. We can't have spiritual life apart from Christ, apart from the moving of the Spirit within us. There is no life apart from God. There's existence, but not life. We've redefined existence as life. Lost people that don't know Him are walking in darkness. They have no life. And they're missing out on the beautiful relationship that they can have with the Holy Spirit. And so he raised him up from the dead. The Holy Spirit helps us complete what God's called us to. It wasn't over at the cross. You know, this is one of the discussions that I've had before. Well, what if Jesus had stayed in the grave? Didn't his shed blood cleanse our sins? It did, because it was validated by the resurrection. The resurrection was the validation of the acceptable offering of the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. Because he has no power over sin and death then. Because those two are linked in the verse, sin and death. And I know that makes you a little bit uncomfortable. It makes me a little uncomfortable too, to be honest with you. But it's the truth. Scripturally, it's the truth. And so his resurrection was critical. It tells us in 1 Peter 3:18 that the Spirit actually made him alive. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. We're the unjust there. so that he might bring us to God, having put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Isn't that cool? Holy Spirit quickened him back to life. So the work that God began in you will be completed by him. Don't give up on him or yourself. Boy, we give up on ourselves. Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the thoughts I have. You don't know this. I'm not really feeling that. I'm not really good at that. I have a bum leg. I have a little problem with this. I get nervous when this happens. You don't understand. I don't have the money. I knew that before you even said it, because you don't have any money. The Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof belong to who? The Lord. We're stewards of it. We have to be careful how we use the resources God has entrusted us with, whether the ones meant for us or the ones meant for him in his ministry. It's all his. My goal is to die broke. How many of you just had a fleeting thought of, I can help you with that? Here's the thing. What does this do as we look at how the Holy Spirit operated in the life of Christ? What does that do for us? What does that show us? How does that help us today? One thing we have to realize is that the Holy Spirit is active with us during our entire life. Even those times that we think we're alone or facing some tough things. You know, it has been a while. There was a church in California, and I watched, when I was in school, churches trying to become them. And if I were to call the name of the church, you would know who it was. And so they were changing their model and their ministry to become what God had done over there. And I think we have to, anytime we face that, I saw preachers get run out of their ministry because of it. I think we have to discover what God's called new life to. And if we can learn from other churches things that are biblically sound and true, and God wants to, this is always the answer. This book is always the answer. And if we can adopt God's word as truth, then I think that we're on our way. And so that may have been their purpose, was to bring out the idea of what is your purpose in life and understanding that. What has God called you to? Because we had, as a church, not this church, but as Christendom, if you will, had gotten into, this is what you ought to do and what you ought to not do. And a good Christian does these things, and a bad Christian is backslidden. You ever heard that word before? And we would judge ourselves by our behavior. I'm not saying whatever you want to do is okay, because God's word says it's not. But when God looks at you, he's pleased with you. If you're saved, if you put your faith in Christ, and he's in you and you're in him, what did he say about his son? This is my son in whom I am. And when he sees us and he sees his son, he's well pleased. The answer to that is for us, not to please God, so that we can join in, so we can participate, so that we can engage in the purpose that God created for us from the foundation of the world. Somebody has been thinking about you since that long. That ain't good English, but it works. We used to say that ain't good English, but that's good preaching. That's horrible. And so the Holy Spirit has been protecting and preparing you throughout your entire life for the plans God has for you. That is so cool to me. That is so cool to me. That's why I love engaging people, because I love hearing about what God is doing. And we talk about the little nice things up front. This is how a relationship develops, right? You talk about the little nice things. Then you build trust. Then you begin to share some of the things that aren't so nice, the struggles you've had, or hurts that people have inflicted on you. If you're breathing, if you're converting oxygen to carbon dioxide, you've been hurt. So let's just get over that. You all have been hurt. I've been hurt. And sometimes I've hurt people. And sometimes you have too. So let's get over that too. So now that that's behind us, we can move forward. That's part of the journey. Because what are the most sensitive things that we have in our life are the areas where others have hurt us, right? If somebody hurts us here, we're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to be the one to inflict that on somebody. So maybe, just maybe, what Satan meant for evil, God is using for good in your life. And instead of embracing the hurt, let's embrace the good. Let's embrace the benefit of having gone through that. Let's not waste the lesson. Instead of sitting on the sideline and doing nothing. And so draw from those experiences in the moments of ministry that God gives you. Draw from that. You know, one thing I do think that they got right was when they talked about ministry shape, about how God shapes us for ministry, about spiritual gifts, heart, attitude, passions, and experience. All those things God will use in your life to allow you to touch the lives of other people. Let me give you an example. I was in Georgia, and I got diagnosed with skin cancer. It was not fatal. When David said, this is no big deal, I'm like, no big deal. Don't use the word C and no big deal in the same sentence. I told Terry, and I led to leave the house. I wanted to be alone because it hurt so bad. It scared me. And now when other people, and it was, the doctor said, do you want me to get it all or want me to make it look pretty? Get it all. I don't care if there's a hole through my leg. But now when other people get that diagnosis, I know the emotion because I've been through it. So my experiences have helped me to understand what people are. And you have those too. That's the beauty of having gone through what you've been through. And although it may have been tough and painful and difficult and hurtful, don't waste the lesson because of the pain. And so he's active during our entire life. Don't think that, oh, I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I can't talk like, I can't sing like Stephen, I can't, you know, drive a truck like Dwayne. Don't think about what you can't do. I can't drive a truck like Dwayne. When I have to drive a truck like Dwayne, I call Dwayne. And he comes over there and he tells me how I can do it. But then he tells me which way to turn the wheel. He did too. And he's very encouraging the whole time. I never felt less than. Which is a beautiful, that's a great skill in a teacher. And each one of you have gifts and talents and things. And they might just be a bucket full of hurts. But I'll tell you what, when someone else is hurting, I want someone who can understand what I'm going through. I want someone understanding my situation. And so the Holy Spirit is active with us during our entire life. Realize that. You have never been alone. The Holy Spirit will give you everything you need for life and ministry. We've been talking about that. When doing ministry, the Holy Spirit will give you, let me give you some things. You're going to get specific. He'll give you verse recollection. Have you ever been talking to somebody and then a verse pops into your head? Has that ever happened to you? That's the moving of the Spirit. That's the voice of the Spirit. It sounds a lot like your voice when it happens. But it's his voice. This verse will come to mind. Verse recollection. insight into the situation. Have you ever just sensed that something's going on with somebody, you can't put your finger on it, but you just know there's something happening? You ever been there? That's the Spirit of God working in you. This is the rubber meeting the road, folks. This is stuff that we don't get to talk about. I just sense something's going on with James. I don't have any logical reason why. So I called James. And you know what James says? No, I'm fine. But I still have it. Maybe James isn't ready to share yet. That's the little churchy answer. I'm fine, you're fine, we're all fine, nah, nah, nah. And the truth is, you ain't fine. You're struggling in areas. It'd be nice if we could drop that. But I'll tell you, when that gets dropped, this will be a safe place of healing, hope, and love, and victory. I know you're all scared. I'm okay with that. I'd rather us be like this than to not tackle the real things. So the Holy Spirit gives us everything, insight and situation, and then understanding and application of spiritual truth. As he gives verse revelation, and you begin to sense that there's something going on. By the way, James is fine as far as I know. As far as I know. Then the Holy Spirit will sometimes show you a path, if he's wanting you to help them with a path. If he's just wanting you to be there for them, then he may not show you that. You might be frustrated with that. But that might be what the person needs. I had a friend who's, and I've told you this story before too, but some of you are new here, so this will be new for you. I had a friend whose 16-year-old son was jumping off rocks. Everybody was jumping off, but he jumped a little funny and went in head first and hit his head. Did not die on impact. He drowned because it knocked him out. Everybody came over and quoted verses at him and said all kind of things to him. And he said, I sat across the table at lunch with him. And he said, I can't tell you a thing that any of them said. But I had a friend that showed up, and when I opened the door, he started to weep. And I started to weep, I'm probably going to weep now, but we went on the couch, and we sat there and cried for a half hour. He didn't say anything. At the end of a half hour, he got up and left. What does he remember? And the guy who cried thought, wow, how useless was that? All I did was cry. You know, we think that words are the answer. Responding to the Spirit of God is the answer. And it may not make sense to you. That's okay. I don't care if it makes any sense to me as long as I'm involved in doing it. And this guy was a counselor to thousands. And that's what gave him comfort. Because see, he knew all the answers. How many of you guys have heard of Charles Stanley? This guy was the staff counselor of his church. His name was Robert McCon. It's a true story. He knew all the answers. Licensed, had helped thousands of people. But when time came for him, where did they come to? And God will send somebody. That man had no idea that he was going to be used that way that day. But God used him. And so be open to that. God will use you. Lastly, in times of doubt, you can remain confident that the Holy Spirit is up to something in you and in your ministry to others. You ever doubted God? I want to be the first one. I've been there. God, how could you let this happen? You ever said that? God, where are you? I've said all these. God, this isn't fair. You ever said that one? You could stop it and you didn't. So that one? I'm not trying to beat you at being the most doubtful. But I want you to know I've been there. I know what you're dealing with when those times come. Listen, walking in faith here in those moments will help you see what he's doing and join him in the work you share. Walking in faith will not cause you to see it at that moment always. Because that's what walking in faith means. We don't always see, but we trust him and we decide that we trust him no matter what. And we just keep going with what he's given us already. And you remain faithful. Not faithful because you see the results. Faithful because he is who he is. And you trust that that will work out the best way that it needs to for him. For God's plan. And that's what being faithful is about. It's not about having the answers. It's about being in love with the one who knows what he's doing. And we can trust him. You know, every year in Alaska, there's a 1,000-mile dog sled race. They run from the, I believe it's called the Iditarod. And they run for prize money and prestige, and it commemorates an original race. Did you know this? I didn't know this. I learned this week. It commemorates an original race that was run to save lives. Did y'all know that? Back in January 1926, there was a 6-year-old named Richard Stanley who showed symptoms of diphtheria, signaling the possibility of an outbreak in the small town of Nome back then. The boy eventually passed away later that day, and Dr. Curtis Welch began immunizing children and adults with an experimental yet effective anti-diphtheria drug. But it wasn't long before he ran out. And the nearest sermon was in Nenana, Alaska, 1,000 miles away in frozen wilderness. And so, here's what happened. A group of trappers and prospectors volunteered to cover the distance with their dog teams and operating relays from trading post to trapping station and beyond. One sled started out from Nome, while another, carrying the serum, started from Nenana. Oblivious to frostbite, fatigue, exhaustion, the teamsters mushed relentlessly until after 144 hours and minus 50 degree winds, the serum was delivered to Nome. As a result, there's only one other life lost to diphtheria. Because they worked together, lives were saved. And the truth is, when we work together with the Holy Spirit, lives will be saved. There's a reason that he's involved in your life. It's for you and for other people. And so let's not miss out on that. The Holy Spirit was involved here in the life of Christ. But he's also involved in our lives. This wasn't unique to him. We need to always remember, these guys, what a sacrifice that was. They gave sacrifice to save the life of other people. Jesus did the same thing. He sacrificed it all to save other people. That's why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. Our ministry is reconciliation. To God and to one another. And we have to be willing to do both. And I think sometimes that's why we're challenged to do it with one another. And I know that stinks, but that's the deal. Because people hurt us, and we don't want to forgive them at times. But when you think about what Jesus has forgiven you, it makes it a lot easier to forgive them. And so let's not miss out on our ministry of reconciliation. We've got to be willing to do the hard stuff. Jesus came knowing the cross was coming and knowing he had to feel it. He wasn't delivered from feeling the pain of the cross. And although ministry is being published today, even the Christian life is being published today as this wonderful thing in finding your best life now, do all these other things that are self-centered. My best life now is when I give away what I want for what God has planned for me. That's the best life I could ever find. and the flowing of the Spirit of God in me, helping me understand and be sensitive in the moment, makes me effective in the lives of other people. Not trying harder, but listening better. And so I would encourage each one of you today to realize all that the Spirit of God did in the life of Christ, He's doing in you too. He's quickened you to life. The things He did in the life of Christ are compared in Scripture to the things He wants to do in us. Why not let Him do that? Why not let Him have that opportunity? Why hold on to these old ways and these old things that we feel safe? They're called coping patterns. The old fight or flight. If I get in your face, you won't mess with me. Or if I just go over here, they can't find me. They can't see me, right? If I'm behind the red light, they can't see me. Why are you hiding? Because they already see you. Right? It doesn't make any sense. But we do it. And so, let's not hide anymore. Let's participate with the Holy Spirit. Let's be part of that dog sled team. Let's see what God's going to do in and through us. I want to do it. I want to watch it in you. I want you to be able to see it in me. But it's going to take the same thing from both of us. It's going to take us before the cross, kneeling before our Lord and saying, I'm willing. And when He shows us that first thing, actually doing it, actually responding, and then letting Him do it through us. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.